百昆特之音服务员于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2018年5月9日，星期三。我们荣幸地邀请到了 Radhacharan Prabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》（Chaitanya Charitamrita）。Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Dhamma Dhamma, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila Chapter 9. We continue Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places.
我们今天继续来学习永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第九章。我们今天进一步来讲主师 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的圣地之游。
So in the previous two lectures
在前面的两次课之中
we covered two very important points
我们讲到了两个非常重要的要点。
One is the story of Kalidas
第一个就是 Kalidas 的故事，
who was attracted by the Bataharis.
他被 Batahari 所吸引。
And the lesson of that pastime is, as it was mentioned in that lecture, we should never take spiritual life for granted.
就是在那个讲座当中我讲到了，就是我们不要认为灵修的生活是理所应当的，有一种想当然的态度。
That even in the best of association,The mind can still drag us away from Krishna consciousness.
即便我们拥有最好的涟漪，可能我们也会心意呢是会散乱的，是被转移的，把我们从 Krishna 知觉中带走。
So, Krishna consciousness is more of an internal work than an external work.
所以呢 Krishna 知觉更确切的而言是一种内在的努力而不是外在的。
It requires integrity and it requires honesty.
这需要一个人具备一种诚实和正直的品质。
Then Krishna within the heart will not only protect the devotee, but also inspire the devotee to make further progress.
这样呢，我们心中的 Krishna 就不仅仅会保护奉献者，而且还会激励奉献者做出更大的进步。
The second event is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to the Sringeri Math, which is one of the most important ashram or monastery of Shankaracharya.
第二个事件呢就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他去到了 Shingling Math 也就是 Shankaracharya 的一个非常重要的修院。
And it's important to understand because of what we're going to speak about today.
那么它其中蕴含的这个深意呢我们今天会来讲。
During the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in IndiaThere were some very major changes taking place, both politically and spiritually.
那么在主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所身处的这个时代，当时在印度呢，在无论是在政治上还是在 灵性上面都有非常巨大的变化。
We see nowadays in China that many people are attracted to return to the traditional culture.
我们看到现在的中国人也都有这样一种回归中国传统文化的趋势。
And there is more and more access to books that discuss the history, the philosophy, the traditions that people experienced in China before.
那么现在呢，有关中国传统文化的这些书籍呢，也是非常的常见的，其中也谈到了生活在中国的这个传统的那些年代里的中国人，他们的历史、文化和哲学。
And people try to find themselves, they try to find an identity based on this ancient culture.
所以呢，在基于呢这些古籍，所以呢，很多中国人也试图寻找到自己的一种身份感。
But it often clashes with modern values.
但是呢，这些传统文化的价值观和我们现在的这种文化观往往会形成冲突。
And therefore, oftentimes we find that people who are driven or attracted by Chinese traditional culture today, they often have to compromise in many ways.
所以呢，我们会看到，通常而言，那些被中国的传统文化所深深吸引的人，往往在很多方面都不得不做出妥协。
And they have to reinvent Chinese culture that it can appeal and it can be practical for today's world.
而且呢，他们就是必须得对这个中国文化进行一种再创造，这样呢才会对现代的人形成一种吸引力。
Which means that even the basic principles of Chinese culture are compromised even today, and they have to be diluted. They have to be reinvented so they can help people find an identity.
那换句话说，就是中国传统文化当中原本所具有的一些最基本的原则，不得不做出妥协和让步，然后呢，不得不重新再进行稀释或者再创造，这样呢，才能会被现代的中国人所接受，他们才会被吸引。
So similarly, it's very important to understand historically and politically and spiritually what was going on in India during all these years.
所以呢，无论是从历史，还是呢从政治，还是从灵性的这个角度，我们都必须要对印度当时的那个时代背景有一个比较全面的了解，这一点是非常的重要的。
And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, first of all, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions all these different events in his book.
首先呢 ，Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 他对于当时历史背景下的这些事件都有所描述。
And Srila Prabhupada, in those particular sections, he gives very elaborated purports where he gives historical accounts of what actually used to happen.
而且呢，在施拉普拉帕的要旨当中，他也针对当时的那个历史背景，对于一些历史的这些事件呢，有着非常详尽的解释。
Of course, we may not have to be concerned with all these details, but for those who are interested in history and tradition and culture, this is very nourishing.
当然呢，对于这些其中的各种细节，可能并不是所有的人都需要去非常的深究的。但是呢，对于那些对于历史啊，还有呢，对于文化，还有对于当时的这种灵性，还有政治背景非常的感兴趣的那些人，那么这些信息如果你去阅读的话，可能你会感觉到豁然开朗。
And it also helps us to understand where we are situated with the Krishna consciousness movement, how it has come about and for what reason.
而且呢，他对于我们身处的这个 Krishna 知觉运动，也会有一个更加深入的了解。我们呢就知道我们的 Krishna 知觉是在什么怎样的一个时代背景下所形成产生的，并且呢，它这个未来的这个发展的方向和前景是什么。And
it's also important because we should be able to explain to people who want to know how traditional, ancient, and genuine Krishna consciousness is.
而且呢，对于那些有这份求知欲的人来说，那么我们也要从这个 Krishna 知觉的这个历史和它的这个渊源，能够对这些人给予一个非常详细的、非常正确的一个解释，这点是非常的重要的。
Many masters, so-called masters, many so-called gurus have gone to the West and have created all these new spiritual paths based on some knowledge of the tradition of India.
那么当时呢，有很多的所谓的大师，很多的guru都曾经去到了这些西方，然后基于印度的一些历史文化的这个传统呢，也就创造了他们自己的一些法门。And
because people don't have proper education or proper information, they follow these teachers thinking that they are genuine when actually they are not.
那些西方人呢，因为他们对于这个历史和传统的相关的这些知识和信息几乎是一无所知的，所以呢，都把他们当成是非常正统的传承，然后就盲目的追随他们。So
to have a bigger picture, we have to go back to the end of the narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么为了对一个全貌有一个了解，我们首先要进入圣典伯加瓦坛的最后的部分。When
Srila Shukadev Goswami was explaining to Maharaj Parikshit what would happen in Kali Yuga.
那么Shukadeva Goswami 对 Parish Maharaj 谈到了卡利年代的末期将会发生些什么。And
we know that Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years.
那么我们也知道卡利年代呢，为期就是32,000年。And
only 5,000 have passed.
而且呢，才刚过去了5,000年。And
already so much has been happening.
虽然是短短的5,000年，但是已经发生了很多的事情。And
what we know from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the following verse. Kaler dosha nide rajan asti eko mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga parambrajet. That the Kali Yuga is like an ocean of faults.
那么在这个圣典婆加瓦坛的第十二篇当中呢，就讲到了这些诗节，在这里对卡利年代有一个描述，说卡利年代是一个充满着谬误的海洋。
But if there is one good thing which comes out of this Kali Yuga is the performance of Sankirtan.
那么如果说在这个充满了错误的海洋的卡利年代中，如果有一个优势的话，那就是这个Sankirtan运动，提颂圣名运动。So
Sankirtan has emerged out of this ocean of confusion.
所以呢, 在这样的一种充满着困惑的和谬误的海洋之中, Sankirtan 便冉冉升起。
In the beginning of Kali Yuga, the kings became corrupt and the Brahmanical class became corrupt.
在这个卡利年代初期的时候, 这个皇族以及婆罗门们他们都变得纷纷变得非常的腐败。
So the Vedic rules were no longer followed.
所以呢，人们就再也不追随 伟达圣典中所提倡的规则。
The Brahmanas were not behaving according to the Vedas.
而且婆罗门他们也摒弃了伟达经的这个原则。
And therefore, Buddha appeared.
所以呢，这个时候佛陀便显示了。
And Buddha spread his teachings all across the land of India.
那么佛陀的这个教义便传遍了印度次大陆。
But for his teaching to be appealing to people, he had to reject the Vedas and he had to reject the position of the Supreme Lord and even to reject the position of the soul.
但是为了使他的这个讯息能够更加的被人们所接受，能够对他们构成这种吸引力，所以呢，他就不得不拒绝了伟达经的这个权威，也拒绝了排斥了这个至尊主的这个崇高至上的地位，而且甚至他还否定了就是灵魂的存在。
But this position did not last.
但是呢，他的这个地位并没有维持太久。
And ultimately, Buddhism was pushed out of India.
那么最终风靡印度的这个佛教呢，就被赶出了印度。
Then emerged Shankaracharya.
然后接下来便是 Shankaracharya 的崛起。
And Shankaracharya brought again the glories of the Vedas.
那么 Shankaracharya 也就是我们中国学者翻译成的香杰罗大师。他呢重新复兴了伟达经的荣耀。
But what he did is that he used the same philosophy as Buddha, but he used the Vedas to propagate it.
但是他实际上这个哲学的实质还是佛教，但是只不过是借助于伟达经来进行传播。
And people were very attracted to that because they wanted to reconnect with Vedic culture.
那个时候的印度人呢，深深地被香克查尔的哲学所吸引，因为他们想重新恢复到和伟达经之间的连接。
But by doing that, he created an atmosphere of impersonalism, which means literally killing the soul.
但是呢，为了做到这一点呢，他实际上呢，就是传播了假象中非人格主义的这种哲学，可以说实际上而言就是扼杀了灵魂。
So Shankaracharya established monasteries all throughout India.
所以呢 ，Shankaracharya 他就在印度各地建起了无数座修院。
And it was the most prominent influence in the whole country.
而且呢，就成为在印度这片大陆上面的最具有权威性和影响力的宗教。
But at some point, his influence started to disappear.
但是后来呢，他的这个影响力呢就日渐衰落。
And his succession, the other spiritual masters and even the disciples did not agree with some aspect of his philosophy.
那么他的后人，他的门徒，以及后来这些追随者，对于他哲学当中的某些方面呢，就持有不同的意见。
And we see this very clearly when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna consciousness with the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi.
那么这一点呢，我们可以在祖师坦尼亚马哈帕布在 Varanasi 和那些 Mayavadi 假象中非人格主义哲学的对话当中可以看到。
It did not take much convincing for them to accept Lord Chaitanya.
事实上，祖师坦尼亚马哈帕布并没有费多大的力气就把他们都说服了。
They accepted and they agreed that what Shankaracharya, excuse me?
Yeah, finish.
They accepted and they agreed that what Shankaracharya was teaching was wrong.
他们呢 也不仅是接受，也就是认可了这样的一个事实，就是 Shankaracharya 的这个教义是有错误的。
And that's during the time of Lord Chaitanya.
而且那个时代还是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 显示的时代。
But 300 years before that, there is this huge bhakti movement that arises.
那么在300年之前呢，有这个非常宏大的这个 bhakti 奉爱的这个运动的崛起，风靡了。
This bhakti movement is headed by some very powerful acharyas or spiritual masters.
而且呢，这个 bhakti 奉爱的这个运动都是由一些非常有力量的 acharya 们，这些历代的这个先师们所领导的。
One.We already talked about is Sri Ramanuja.
那我们知道其中一位就是我们之前曾经讨论过的，他叫 Ramanuja.
One is Sri Vishnu Swami.
一位呢是 Vishnu Swami.
One is Sri Nimbarka Acharya.
一位叫 Nimbarka Acharya.
And one is Sri Madhva Acharya.
然后呢，最后一位是 Madhvacharya.
So each one of these acharyas, they presented a different aspect of Krishna consciousness.
那么这四位 acharya 们，这四位先师们，他们都从不同的这个角度来呈现了 Krishna 知觉的一个方面。
In his book Navadvip Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
那么 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他撰著了一部书叫做 Navadvip Mahatmya.
Navadvip Mahatmya is a book where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains everything about Mayapur and the nine islands.
那么这部书叫做 Navadvip Mahatmya. 在这部书里面 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 呢，他全面的介绍了 Navadvip， 还有这个就是 Navadvip 这九座岛，还有 Mayapur。
So in this book, he reveals that the four acharyas that we have just named, they will come to Mayapur, to Gaur Mandala, and they will perform pastimes over there.
那么在这部书当中 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他就讲到了这四位 acharya 他们会来到 Mayapur， 然后呢他们会绕拜整个 Navadvip， 就是 Gaur Mandala。然后呢，他们还会在那里去上演他们的逍遥时光。
So, shortly I will explain what happened there.
那么，等一会儿呢，我会给大家解释一下在那里究竟发生了些什么。
But for now, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after visiting the ashram of Shankaracharya, he arrives in Udupi.
那我们这里才继续来讲主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的行程。他去了 Shankaracharya 的这个修院之后呢，他就现在来到了 Udupi。
And in Udupi is the main headquarters of Madhva Acharya.
Udupi 它是 Madhva Acharya 的总部所在。
And Udupi is very famous.For a very beautiful deity of Lord Krishna.
那么 Udupi 呢是以在那里的美丽的显像 Krishna 著称于世的。
So outside the town of Udupi, there's a small village, and this is where Madhvacharya was born.
那么在 Udupi 小镇的外面有一个村庄，那就是 Madhvacharya 诞生的地方。
This is around the 12th century.
这个大约发生在十二世纪。
And Madhvacharya became a very, very popular and very powerful spiritual master.
Madhvacharya 后来呢就成了一位备受瞩目的一位灵性导师。
He was also very powerful physically. He was like very, very strongly built.
他非常的有影响力，而且呢身材魁梧。
And during his entire childhood, he performed one miracle after another.
而且呢，在他童年时代的时候，在他的身上一直不断地显示了一些神迹，一些神通。
And of course, he became a great scholar.
当然他后来成了一位非常伟大的学者。
Ultimately, he became a sannyasi.
最后呢，他后来呢，他成了这个托钵僧，就是。
And his mission was to defeat this Mayavad philosophy.
他的使命就是去击败玛雅瓦底假象中非人格主义哲学。
So, first he established himself in Udupi, and then he began to travel around India.
首先呢，他就是在 Udupi 这个地方确立了他的地位，然后就开始云游整个印度大陆。
And especially, he went to the Himalayas.
尤其是他也来到了这个 Himalaya, 就是喜马拉雅山脉。
And in the Himalayas, he went to the cave where Srila Vyasadeva resides.
然后在喜马拉雅山上的时候，他也去到了 Vyasadeva 所居住的那座岩洞。
And after spending time with Srila Vyasadeva,He began to write his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita.
在和 Srila Vyasadeva 相处了一段时间之后，他就开始对 Bhagavad Gita 薄伽梵歌做了评注。
And he also wrote a commentary on Mahabharata.
他也对 Mahabharata 伟大的巴拉达摩诃婆罗多做了评注。
But one day something very special happened when he was back in Udupi.
那有一天当他回到了 Udupi 的时候一件不同的寻常的事情发生了
Udupi is right by the ocean it's right on the beach
Udupi 呢它是海边的一个小镇就在海滩不远
Uttachaya used to go to the ocean regularly for a swim
那么那个时候 Madhvacharya 经常会去海里游泳
While he was sitting looking at the ocean, he was meditating on the form of Lord Krishna.
他呢坐在海滩上，然后注视着大海，然后就开始冥想 Krishna 的形象。
And while he was meditating on Krishna, he saw a very large boat that was going to Dwarka. Udupi is in the south of India.Dwarka is in the west of India.
那么当他在冥想着 Krishna 的时候，他在海上就看到了一艘大船。那么当时呢，他是在 Udupi 是在南印度。那他就看到这艘船向 Dwarka 的方向驶去。Dwarka 呢是在印度的西边。
But then he saw that the boat was in danger.
然后他看到这艘船呢。陷入了危险。
So he signaled to the man who was sailing the boat and he says, bring your boat closer to the shore and I can give you some help.
然后呢他就向这个划船的这个人示意说让他把船呢划到这个岸边来他说他会给他帮助。
So by doing that, he saved the boat and he saved the sailor.
所以呢他实际上在这样做了的话他就不仅仅是就是救了这艘船也救了船上的这个船员。
So the owner of the boat wanted to give Madhvacharya a gift to say thank you.
那么这个船主呢就想送给 Madhvacharya 一份礼物以示答谢。
And the boatman was carrying on his boat these big pieces ofTilak, because he was going to Dwarka with the Tilak.
那么当时呢，在这个船上的这个船员，他带了一块非常大的 Tilak, 准备是带到 Dwarka 去的。
Tilak is also known as Gopi Chandan.
我们也知道这个 Tilak 也叫 Gopi Chandan, 就是圣泥。
So Madhvacharya says, okay, I will have this big lump of Gopi Chandan as a gift.
那么 Madhvacharya 就对他说呢那你就把这块 Gopi Chandan 送给我做礼物吧。
And what happened is that when he took the big lump of Gopi Chandan, the clay opened up in half. And inside was this amazing, heavy, beautiful deity of Krishna.
当他接受这一大块 Gopi Chandan 圣泥的时候, 奇迹发生了。这块 Gopi Chandan 圣泥呢, 突然间就裂开了一分为二, 然后里面呢, 就有一尊非常美丽的 Krishna的神像。
And that deity was so heavy that 30 men could not lift it. And Madhvacharya was a very strong man. He lifted Krishna and he took Krishna all the way back to Udupi.
那这尊神像非常的沉重，甚至是30个力大无穷的男人也抬不起来。但是呢，这个Madhvacharya却不费吹灰之力。 他因为他身材非常魁梧，也非常有臂力，所以他就把这尊神像呢就捧起来，然后就把它送到了Udupi。
And as he was holding Lord Krishna, he composed one prayer after another for the glorification of the Supreme Lord.
当他捧着这尊 Krishna 的神像的时候，他在一路上呢。 就不断地去创作出来荣耀 Krishna的一些诗篇 一些祷文
So this deity of Krishna is actually Krishna as a young boy. His name is Balagopal.
那么这尊神像呢 是Krishna非常年少的那个形象 叫Balagopal.
And this deity is being worshipped to this day. It's so famous. People go from all over India to have darshan of Balagopal in Udupi.
那么现在呢，这一尊神像 Balagopal 就被尊奉在这个 Udupi. 那人们从四面八方都赶来觐见这尊美丽的神像.
So he established the worship of Lord Krishna.
所以他就在那里呢，建立起了对主 Krishna 神像崇拜的传统.
He initiated many sannyasis.
他也启迪了很多的sannyasi托钵僧
And he established the disciplic succession.
而且呢，他也建立起了这个使徒传承。
And all the names of every sannyasi, every disciplic, every guru parampara are listed in this Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么所有的这些 Acharya们这些灵性导师们，还有这些Sampradaya，这些使徒传系，Guru Parampara都是在这个Chaitanya Charitamrita，然后呢，Chaitanya经当中有所罗列的。So
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrives in Udupi, and he's so excited to have the darshan of the dancing Gopal.
那么当Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 来到Udupi的时候， 他看着翩翩起舞的 Gopal 美丽的这个神像呢， 也感到激动万分。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw the deity, he began to dance and chant and fall on the ground with ecstasy.
主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 见到 Udupi的神像的时候， 不由得翩翩起舞起来， 而且大声的唱诵， 在狂喜之中晕倒在地上。
But remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually a Mayavadi sannyasi.
那我们不要忘记了, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu在这里的身份是一位 Mayavadi的托钵僧, sannyasi.
I mean, he is a Vaishnav, but he has taken sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi.
那虽然他实际上是一位 Vaishnava奉献者, 一位 Vaishnava的sannyasi, 但是呢,他是从 一位 Mayavadi 的 Sannyasi 托钵僧那里接受的托钵僧启迪。
So when he is taking darshan of Gopal and he is dancing, the sannyasis from the monastery, they don't pay attention to him, they don't even look at him, they don't talk to him.
所以呢，当他呢在这个 Gopal 的神像面前舞蹈唱诵的时候，在这个庙里的这些 Sannyasi 那些居士们。 去根本就不关注他，视同不见。
But then when they saw the ecstatic symptoms of love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in front of the deity, they realized that he was actually a Vaishnava, and then they gave him a nice reception.
但是后来当他们真正的看到了主持他们马哈婆婆在唱诵和舞蹈当中所表达出来的这种强烈的爱的时候他们就明白了这是一位 Vaishnava 的 Sanyasi.
So he detected in their attitude that it doesn't matter. When you see a sannyasi, you should always greet him with respect. You don't ignore the person because he is not one of the other sannyasis.
所以呢，这一点呢，就是让我们知道，当你见到一位sannyasi的时候，不论他是哪一位sannyasi，也不要因为他和别人就是不一样，你就去忽略他，而始终对一位sannyasi要表示敬意。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that their attitude was not right, and therefore he decided to teach them a lesson.
那么，主持人，他就决定了去教导他们。
And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always does, he always presents himself as being an absolute ignorant.
那么，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu呢，经常呢，就是让自己像一个很无知愚昧的人一样。
He did this with Keshava Kashmiri when he defeated him on the bank of the Ganges.
在这个 Keshava Kashmiri 就是在恒河岸边，他击败了那位大诗人的时候，他也是这样的。
He did this with Savabhauma Bhattacharya when he arrived in Puri.
当他来到了 Puri, 见到了Savabhauma Bhattacharya的时候，在他击败 Savabhauma Bhattacharya的这个过程当中, 他也是在外在上先是表现得非常的无知。
He did this with Ramananda Roy in order to hear about the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
当他和Ramananda Roy在一起的时候, 他也是如此表现的。这样子呢,他才能够激发这个Ramananda Roy不断地往下讲, 讲到的这个Radha和Krishna的机密的逍遥时光。
And he is doing this with the sannyasis, these are Vaishnava sannyasis, by telling them, I don't know what is the goal of life.
然后呢，当他去见到那些Vaishnava Sanyasi的时候，他也是装作对于人生的目标一无所知。Please
tell me what is the best for humanity.
他会询问说，这个人类的最高的利益是什么？So
we see that it's important not to come forward as if we know everything.
所以呢，我们千万不要自以为是的去表现自己。
When we engage in exchanging knowledge with others, we should always let them first present their philosophy.
当我们和别人在进行交流的时候，那就应当让对方首先去呈现。
And not reject or ignore or disrespect what they have to say.
而且呢，不要对对方所说的话或者表达的意见呢，表示嗤之以鼻，或者是表示不屑一顾，忽略呀，或者去否定呀什么的。
We should let our own Siddhanta, our own conclusion of the Vedas, speak for itself.
那么我们呢，应当要让我们的哲学当中所蕴含的这个Siddhanta，这个真理，是就是展示它不言自明的那一面。So
the head of the Vaishnava sannyasis replies that the system of Varnashram, the four ashram and the four Varnas, when they are dedicated to Krishna, this is the highest goal of life.
那么这个 Sanyasi 的这个首领呢，他就是说，当这个 Varnashram 四社会阶层、四灵性境界，所有的这一切都能够献给 Krishna 的话，那就是一个最高的目标。
And by performing our duty within the Varnashram, we can get liberation. We can be transferred to Vaikuntha. This is the highest goal of life.
那么他说呢，如果说我们能够依循 Varnashram 四社会死灵性境界去履行我们的这个职责，我们就可以得到提升，我们就可以提升到这个就可以得到解脱，能够到达这个 Vaikuntha 无忧星宿。
So does that sound familiar?
你们觉不觉得这个说法听起来有些耳熟呢？
Krishna Premi, have we heard this before?
Yes, when Ramananda Roy started to talk.
Yes.
Again with Varnashram. 对，这个听起来非常的耳熟，因为当时当这个主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Ramananda Roy 在一起的时候，他询问了同样的问题，那 Ramananda Roy 也是从这个 Varnashram 开始讲的，他首先说那个是人生的最高的目标。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies according to...The Vedic scriptures, hearing and chanting is what brings perfection of life.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的回答就是说，根据这个伟达经典，聆听和唱诵才是人生的完美境界。
So he gives this famous verse of Prahlad Maharaj when he gives the 9 processes of devotional service.
所以呢，这个时候他就引用了 Prahlad Maharaj 非常著名的有关于九项奉献服务的诗歌
and how they can bring about perfection
然后呢他也讲到了为什么说这九项奉献服务可以让人达到完美
and if one is engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna then symptoms of ecstasy will come about and one will not care for outsiders because he will have found perfectionIn being Krishna conscious.
那么当一个人这样去唱诵主的圣名的时候呢，一切的这个狂喜的征兆呢，就会在他的身上镜像的展示，然后他也不会在这个去在乎外人会怎么说或者会怎么看他，因为在他的心中，他已经找到了对 Krishna 的爱，他在。沉浸在这个狂喜之中达到了完美
And Srila Prabhupada quotes the nectar of devotion
Srila Prabhupada 引用了奉爱的甘露中的话
Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutamam One should render loving service to Krishna favorably
一个人应当以一种顺意的心态向 Krishna 献上奉献服务
Without desire for material profit or fruitive activities
而且呢不求任何物质的回报也不掺杂任何世俗的活动
Or philosophical speculation
也没有哲学上的推敲
This is the principle of pure devotional service
这就是纯粹的奉献服务的原则。
And this is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita at the end of his conversation with Arjuna.
这一点呢也在博迦梵歌 Bhagavad Gita 中在最后Krishna 向 Arjuna 证实了这一点。
Where he asked Arjuna to just be my devotee, think of me, bow down to me,Give up all other processes of religion, I will protect you.
因为这个时候他向 Arjuna 承诺或者证实说 Arjuna 呢他应当要放下一切只是皈依他只要向他顶拜 做他的奉献者思他想他就好了。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu highlights the fact thatby trying to perform one's duty within the Varnashram system, we may also become very materially motivated.
所以呢在这里主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他其实就是强调了一个要点就 就算是我们在 Varnashram 的这个制度当中，四次会阶层四领性进阶的这个制度当中，非常认真的去履行自己的职责，那这个时候依然可能会掺杂着许多的世俗物质的动机。
Even the desire for liberation, even the desire to reach Vaikuntha planets, this cannot bring perfection because it's a personal motivation.
即便是一个人还有这种得到解脱或者去往 Vaikuntha, 无忧心秀的这种欲望，那么依然可以说这不是完美的境界，因为就说明他还有他自己个人的动机。
So again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes a verse which ultimately will be used by Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion.
那么接下来 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 又引用了一段诗节，那么 Rupa Goswami 后来在《奉爱的甘露》当中呢，也引用了同样的这一段。
Shalokya Sharsti Samipya Sarupya Katvam Apyuta Diyamam Nagrinanti Vinamat Sevanam Janaha. There are five kinds of liberation.
解脱有五种。
To be in the Vaikuntha planets.
第一种解脱就是在 Vaikuntha 星宿。
To enjoy the same opulence as Krishna.
去享受和 Krishna 同等的富裕。
To have the same body as Krishna.
获得和 Krishna 同样的形体。
To have Krishna association.
和 Krishna 在一起。You mean stay in the same planet? Do you mean to stay in the same planet as Krishna?
No. That was the first one. That's Shalokya. I'm talking about Shasti, associating with Krishna.
与 Krishna 联谊。
And merging into the body of Krishna.
融入Krishna 的光彩。
A pure devotee does not accept any of these kind of liberation.
纯粹的奉献者他是不愿意接受任何的一种这样的一种解脱的。
Because a devotee is only after pleasing Krishna.
因为呢纯粹的奉献者他只有一个心愿，就是去取悦 Krishna.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他又引用了来自于圣典《薄伽瓦坛》的另外一个世界。
Narayana parasarve nakushtana rabibhyati sarga pavarga narakeshvapi tuliartha dadashinaha. A devotee of Lord Krishna is not afraid of hellish conditions.
Krishna 的奉献者并不害怕地狱般的境况。
Because to the devotee, to be elevated in the heavenly planets or to be in the hellish planet, it is exactly the same.
因为对于一位纯粹的奉献者而言，无论是来到天堂还是堕落到地狱，都是一样的。
It's the same because wherever the devotee is, as long as there is devotional service, then it makes no difference.
天堂和地狱呢是没有什么分别的，因为对于这样的纯粹的奉献者来说，哪里有他哪里就有奉献服务，只要有奉献服务就是一样的。
The real hellish condition for a devotee is not to be able to remember Krishna.
那么对于奉献者来说，最糟糕的一个状况就是想不起 Krishna 来。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells the sannyasis that actually you're not telling the truth.
所以呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就对这位 sannyasi 托钵僧说，你说的并不对。
And the sannyasis, the Madhvacharya sannyasis realize that this young man, he is very learned and he is very honest and very direct.
然后呢这个 Madhvacharya 的这个派的这一位托钵僧呢，他就明白了 这个托波森就是指的主切他尼亚马哈帕布呢，他是学识是非常的渊博的，而且呢他非常的坦然，非常的诚实，也直截了当。
And they said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, we agree with you entirely, and we see that you are very well versed in Vaishnava philosophy.
然后呢，他们就对Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说，您说的话我们完全的同意，而且我们可以看到呢，你是非常的谙熟 Vaishnava 哲学的。
But we are followers of Madhvacharya, and we have to follow what he has taught us.
但是我们是追随的 Madhvacharya, 我们必须要忠于他给予我们的教导。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected that.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也是非常的尊重他们的这个态度的。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I agree with you, and what I approve is that at least in your teachings,You recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说，我同意你的说法，至少呢，在你们这个传承当中，我可以看到你们还是把Krishna 尊奉为至尊主、至尊人格、首神的。
So now comes, I'm going back to this Gaurmandal Lila.
那我现在再回到这个 Gaurmandal Lila 这个逍遥时光中。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his book that previously the four Vaishnavacharyas came to Mayapur.
在他的 Navadvip Mahatmya 这部书当中 ,Bhaktivinoda Thakur 呢就是讲到了这四位 Acharya 们他们都曾经来到过 Navadvip.
And each one of them had darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And this is before Chaitanya appeared.
他们每一个人都曾经觐见过主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 但是都是在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 之前显示之前。
Let's not forget, these Acharyas are from the 10th century, 11th century, 12th century. Each one of them went to the Navadvip area, and each one of them had darshan of Lord Chaitanya before he appeared.
所以说我们不要忘记这些 Acharya 们，他们都是诞生在十世纪、十一世纪或者十二世纪，也就是说，在主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 显现之前，他们就都曾经来到过 Navadvip 打赏过主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu。
So the last one who had darshan of Lord Chaitanya was Nimbarka Acharya。
那么在这四位当中最后一位得到了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的 darshan 的是 Nimbarka Acharya.
And here is what Lord Chaitanya told him.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是这样告诉他们的。
I'm going to recite it in Bengali because it's so beautiful.
因为在这里他说到的这个话是用孟加拉文来说的，所以呢非常的优美。所以我现在用孟加拉文给大家念一遍。
Madhva hoite sharadvaya kariba grahana Eka hoi kevala advaita nirashana Krishna murti nitya jani tahara sevana Seita dvitiya sarajana mahajana Ramanuja hoite hanilai dvishara Ananya bhakati bhakta jana sevahara Vishnu hoite duishara Koriva svikara Tadiya sarvasva bhava Raga margahara Toma hoite Labahami due mahashar Ekantara gishraya Gopi bhavahara
Translate
this?
Beautiful. Just a few words.
Okay, so basically what Lord Chaitanya is saying here is telling Nimbarkacharya that later, when I begin my Sankirtan movement,
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里呢就对 Nimbarkacharya 说以后当我发起了 Sankirtan 运动的时候
In other words, in 300 years from now, when I come as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I begin to spread the Sankirtan movement, I will preach the essence of all this philosophy from the four of you.
那么换句话说，他的意思就是说，从今往后三百年，也就是说，当我显现在这个世界上的时候，我将发起Sankirtan齐颂圣名运动。那个时候，我将传扬你们这四个师徒传承中的哲学精华所在。
And he explains to Nimbaka, he said, from each of you, I will take two principles of your Vaishnavism.
那么我将从你们这四个师徒传承中的每一个中萃取两个 Vaishnava, Vaishnava 宗的精髓两个方面。
And with those principles, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come out with what we know as Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva.
那么基于这些 Vaishnava 的这些原则这些原理呢，我将建立起我们现在所知道的 Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva 极一极一哲学，也就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是集大成者。
And therefore, our own disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually very indebted to the other four, to the other four sampradayas.
换句话说，我们现在所在的这个传承，也就是从主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所开创的这个传承，我们是要就是对于这个之前的四个 sampradaya 四个师徒传系呢。我们是亏欠了很多的，也就是说我们要来自于受惠于他们。
And you will find that all the Gaudiya Acharyas like Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami when they write commentaries on the scriptures, even Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he always quotes these famous Acharyas.
所以说我们就是看到在之后在 Jiva Goswami 啊，或者是 Rupa Goswami 甚至是 Prabhupada 在他们的所撰著的这个书籍文献当中他们经常会去引用这四位 Acharya 的话或者呢去谈到他们。
So these four Acharyas represent everything we need to know about Krishna consciousness.
所以呢这四条 Sampradaya 这四个四大的师徒传系呢其实就是代表了 Krishna 知觉的一切。
They just have a different angle of seeing things. They're not wrong, they're just different.
他们不是有误的，他们是从这个不同的角度去阐释 Krishna 知觉。
That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, means inconceivably one and different.
所以说呢，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所开创的这门哲学就被称为 Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, 意思就是不可思议的极一极一哲学。
And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur glorified the four sampradayas in what way? By installing a deity of each Acharya in his temple in Mayapur.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 呢，他也是对这四条这个 Sampradaya 使徒传信的大家荣耀的。他是怎么做的呢？他是在就是在 Mayapur 的他的这个神庙当中呢，他就设立了这四条 Sampradaya 使徒传信当中的 Acharya, 就是他们分别就建了他们的神像塑像。
When you go to the Gaudiya Math in Mayapur, where you have the Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, there is a beautiful.
如果我们去Mayapur
Krishna Temple.
Breaking.
That's right, because you spoke before.
Haribo.
Can you hear me? Haribo.
Breaking. I didn't hear properly.
When you go to the temple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in Mayapur.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Prema Madhya. Haribo.
Is it my problem or your problem? I didn't hear.
Prabhu.
There was breaking.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, but I didn't hear from before.
Okay, when you go to the temple, Radha Krishna temple at the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Gaudiya.
虽然没听清楚，但是大致就是说，到了玛雅的玛雅普呢，就是到了 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 他所建立的这个 Gaudiya Math， 到他的这个修院当中，我们会看到这个四条 Sampradayas 祖传系的创始人，也就是这四位 Acharya 的塑像。So
there you can have the beautiful darshan of Gandharvika Giridhari.
Sorry. I can't hear.
So in that temple, there's a beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha, Gandharvika Giridhari.
那么在那里有一尊非常美丽的神像，叫 Sri Sri Radha Gandharvika.
Yes. So when you go around the deities to circumambulate, in each corner there is a deity of each acharya of the four sampradayas.
那么当你去绕拜这最非常美丽的神像的时候，它就是不同的方向，在四个角落，你就会可以看到这四位acharya们的塑像。
And one of the predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that one day those four sampradayas will come together and will become one.
那么就是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 曾经有一个预言，他说未来有朝一日呢，这四条 sampradaya， 这四条这个师徒传系最终会合为一体。
And last year, in a very amazing event, the head of the Madhvacharya Math in Udupi declared that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than Radha and Krishna, and that Srila Prabhupada is the main representative of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya.
那么在去年的时候，在乌杜皮这个Madhvacharya Math，也就是这个Madhvacharya的这个传承当中的一位最高的首领。 那他在一个非常盛大的一个典礼上面呢，他就正式的向公众这个宣布，他说主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Radha 和 Krishna 没有分别，就是同一位，而且呢是 Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada， 是我们的这个传就是这个 Krishna 知觉的一位重要的代表。
So this is very significant. This is very significant.
那么这一点呢，是意义深远的。
And we should be aware of all these major events that have taken place in our history.
那么在我们这个历史上面所发生的所有的这些重大的事件呢，我们也都要铭记在心。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not travel around India just for sightseeing. He did some very important work.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to the whole of India, he did not just to sightsee. He did some very important work.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will stay for some time in Udupi, and then he will continue on his way.
那Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在乌杜皮逗留了一小段时间，然后又继续了他的行程。So
we will continue next week.
下一周我们再继续来讲。Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Radha Chantabu. Is it possible for you to speak about briefly the 2 points from each sampradaya?
Yes.
You said we get 2 from each.
Okay.
So what are the 2?
Okay, the 2.
我刚才询问了一个问题，就是 在课上 Radha Charan Prabhu 讲到了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 从这四个 Sampradaya 中的每一个萃取了两个非常重要的原则，然后呢就有了他的极意极意的这个哲学。那他能不能把这每一个传承中的这两个方面给讲简单的讲一下。
Okay, so from Madhvacharya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take the defeat of Mayavad philosophy and the establishment of the worship of the deity of Krishna.
那么就是在这个Madhvacharya 的这个传承当中呢，主要就是说明确了 Mayavadi 他的这个谬误，他们的这个非人格主义的这个谬误，然后确立了对 Radha 和 Krishna 神像的崇拜。
I did not say Radha Krishna, I said the deity of Krishna.
是神像的崇拜，对 Krishna 神像的崇拜。
Because remember that Radha Krishna worship came much later on.
Sorry, 我刚才说错了，就是不是 Radha Krishna 的神像，是Krishna 的神像，就确立了对 Krishna 神像的这个崇拜。对于 Radha Krishna 的这个神像的崇拜是在很后面才发生的事情。
From Ramanuja Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take the concept of pure bhakti without karma or jnana.
那么就是从在这个 Ramanuja Acharya 的这个传承当中，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他确立了就是没有karma 和 jnana， 也就是没有这个业报行动和思辨哲学思辨的纯粹的份爱。
And service to the devotees.
还有就是对奉献者的服务。
From Vishnu Swami, he will take the feeling, exclusive feeling of dependence on Krishna.
从这个 Vishnu Swami 当中的这个要点呢，就是对于Krishna 的完全的依赖。
And the path of spontaneous love for Krishna.
还有对 Krishna 的一种自然而然的爱。The love, spontaneous love for Krishna, right?
Yes.
就是对 Krishna 的一种自然而然的，或者说一种自发的爱。
And from Nimbaka Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take the exclusive shelter of Srimati Radharani.
从 Nimbaka Acharya 那里呢，是对于Srimati Radharani 的完全的托庇。
And the special love of Krishna by the gopis.
还有就是 Krishna 对于牧牛姑娘 gopi 们的那种特别的爱。
So from each
sorry, can I ask? The special love from Krishna to gopi, or the
no, the special love of the gopis to Krishna.
Okay, 是这个 gopi 们牧牛姑娘们对于 Krishna 的非常特别的爱。
So two items from each acharya.
所以说就是从每一个 acharya 那里呢，就继承了两点。
Okay. Lila Smarana, Devidasi.
Lila Smarana, Devidasi has the question. Sorry, I can't see it. I have to do something on Skype.
She has two questions.
Yeah, but I can't see it. Maybe I didn't open it.
You want them on your WeChat?
Yeah, if you can. 稍等一下哈，我现在还没有看见，所以
那我来读一下好吗？
他给我 WeChat 发一下就好。
That's one.
Oh, okay.
好，我来看一下。Okay, yes, I've got it. Lila Smaranam Devidasi, 顶拜部 Madhvacharya 的教导和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导的区别是什么？ Madhvacharya 不也是我们的 Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya 四个使徒传习是从不同的角度来阐释 Krishna 知觉，他们阐释 Krishna 知觉的观点都是什么？ Okay, please accept my humble obeisances. What's the main difference in the teaching between Madhvacharya and Lord Chaitanya? I thought that Madhvacharya is also a part of our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And so the four Sampradayas illustrated Krishna consciousness from different angles. What are their main teachings or their main views?
This is an entire seminar.
如果要回答你的这个问题的话，可能是一个单独的一个讲座了。
It's very complex. Actually, I'm reading now from, I'm reading from a small book that was published by one of our Mayapur sannyasis.That explains each philosophy for each acharya. Believe me, it's quite complex.
那实际上我现在在看一本书，这本书呢是我们的马亚铺的一个 sannyasi 他所写的一部书。虽然这本书不大，但是里面呢，他讲到了这个四个 sampradaya， 还有这里面的一些非常重要的奉献者。是非常的复杂的，其实。
It's very highly philosophical.
而且哲学性很强。
It's very highly philosophical.
而且呢是具有非常强的哲学性。You can't hear me? I translated it. Can you hear me?
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard you and I translated, but seems that you didn't hear me.
Yeah, okay. But you see, the different teachings have to be established because it appeals to so many. Not everybody will go into one single line. The jiva is attracted in many ways to Krishna.
为什么还是要有这个四个 sampradaya 四个传习来分别的这个阐释呢？是因为这个 jiva 这个个体的灵魂。它是有它的这个多样性，它会被 Krishna 的不同的方面所吸引，以不同的方式所吸引。
Why some people are attracted to impersonalism? Why some people are attracted to different aspects of the energies of Krishna? Everybody is attracted in a different way.
那么并不是说所有的人都会被其中一个使徒传习完全的所吸引，所有的人都在这个传习当中。比如说，然后呢，你看我们为什么有的人他会被 Mayavadi 的假象宗非人格主义的哲学所吸引，或者说被 Krishna 不同的这个能量所吸引呢？每个人他感兴趣的东西不一样。
Then Rupa Goswami says about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha. He says, you are the most elevated because you are giving what no one else has given before, Krishna Prema.
那 Rupa Goswami 呢他就明确了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所给予的这个最高的这个是对 Krishna 的 Krishna Prema 对 Krishna 的爱，这个爱呢是任何其他的途径都不可能给予的。
Some give worship of Sitaram, some give worship of Lakshmi Narayan, some give worship of Vishnu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives worship, exclusive worship of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
那么有的人呢他所给予我们的是对 Sitaram 的崇拜，或者是对Lakshmi Narayana 的崇拜，或者是对 Vishnu 的这个崇拜，但是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他所给予我们的是对 Radha Krishna， 对 Radha 和 Krishna 的最机密的这个逍遥时光的这个崇拜，这一点是独一无二的。
And even then, you have some who worship Krishna in Vrindavan, but only as a little boy.
那么我们还可以进一步的深入，就算是对全部都是对 Radha Krishna 的这个崇拜，但是还有一些，比如说是在 Vrindavan 的，是一个小男孩的那个形，是对 Krishna 的这个小男孩的那个形象来崇拜。
Some worship Krishna in Dwarka as a king married to the queens.
那有的呢，他崇拜 Krishna 是主要是崇拜的Krishna， 作为那些王后的这个丈夫，也就是在 Dwarka 的国王的那个形象。
So all these actually accommodate pure bhakti.
那么所有的这些呢，都是蕴含着 bhakti 特别的这个分爱。
This is why Sanatan Goswami wrote this wonderful book, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because it explains all these aspects of bhakti.
那所以呢，后来就是 Sanatan Goswami 他就写了这个大伯加瓦坦甘露 Brihad Bhagavatamrita. 那因为在这部书里面就讲到了这个 bhakti 分爱的方方面面，这种丰富多彩的变化。
And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we see that the main character, Gopakumar, he meets all these different personalities. He goes to Vaikuntha, he goes to Ayodhya, he goes to Dwarka, he goes everywhere. But each time his heart brings him back to Vrindavan, brings him back to Govardhan, because he said there is absolutely nothing that can compare to the sweetness of Vrindavan.
那么在这个大伯加瓦坦甘露当中的这个最主要的人物就是 Gopakumar， 他去了很多的地方，他去了 Vaikuntha， 去了 Ayodhya， 去了 Dwarka， 但是每一次呢，他最后就是一定是又回到了 Vrindavan， 回到了 Govardhan 山，因为呢，在 Vrindavan 呢就有这种非常非常甜蜜的对 Krishna 的爱，这种爱是独一无二的。
Okay, she has another question.
Yes. 下一个问题是上周讲，也是 Lila Smara 让 David Dasi 询问的上周讲课的问题。Dimbai Prabhu 为什么 Krishna Das 和 主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在一起那么长的时间，还会受到吉普赛人的吸引呢？ So this is a question based on your class from last time. So we know that Krishna Das had spent a long time with Lord Chaitanya. So why did he still get attracted by the gypsies?
Because he is independent.
因为他是一个独立的个体。
Just like you are independent.
就好像你是独立的。
Why is it that so many...devotees who had association with great acharyas, with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, with Prabhupada, still decide to do something else. Why?
那为什么这么多的奉献者，虽然他们跟一些伟大的 acharya 们在一起联谊，比如说像 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati， 或者是像 Srila Prabhupada， 但是最后他们还是另有选择，他们做了一些其他的事情呢？
Because we have, ultimately we have freedom to choose.
因为最终我们每个人都有自由的选择。
And all these pastimes take place just to teach us that we always have a choice.
所有的这些逍遥时光呢，是给了我们一个教导，告诉我们，我们每个人都有自由的选择。
Why did Bharat Maharaj reach the level of Bhava Bhakti in his meditation and then suddenly gave up his entire sadhana because he was attracted to a deer?
那 Bharat Maharaj, Bharat 大君，他已经达到了这个 Bhava Bhakti 的这种非常高的这个冥想的高深境界，但是他居然呢还会被一头小鹿所吸引，然后从那个冥想的境界中掉落下来，那又是些什么呢？
Because it means that in as long as we're in the material world, we always have a choice.
其实这个就是告诉我们了，只要我们还身在这个物质世界呢，总是有一个选择的空间的。
Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associates play the role. I mean, I could ask, why was Arjuna confused when he is with Krishna for so many years? And then he gets confused on the battlefield.
那 我们有时候也会询问说，在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 身边或者 Krishna 身边的那些亲密的同游，他们怎么有时候也会困惑呢？比如说像 Arjuna， 他一直跟 Krishna 是好朋友，同吃同住同睡，但是到他怎么会就陷入了这种困惑当中，然后呢，在这个库鲁之野的战场上面止步不前了呢？
That's why at the beginning of the class today, I repeated, we should never take anything for granted.
这就是为什么呢？我们在今天的这个课的一开始，我就讲了，我们不要认为什么都是理所应当的，就是我们千万不要有一种想当然的那种感觉。
Okay. No more questions, right?
So far, I haven't seen other questions unless
you... There's another one that just came on. Hold on.
Can you copy to me?
I'll send you. Copy. Paste.
这个是 Dana Kelly Madaji 的问题。
There's a question from Dana Kelly. Did you get it?
Okay.谢谢帕布，刚才您在课上提到对于主的纯粹奉献者，无论是在地狱还是天堂都是一样的，这里的地狱是什么样的地狱？是有个物理概念的地狱，还是心灵的地狱？您能仁慈的给地狱下个定义，不感恩您。Thank you, Prabhu. Just on the class, you mentioned that for a pure devotee, whether he is in the hell or in the heavenly planets, it's the same. So what kind of hell is it when you talked about hellish place? So is it a physical, exactly a geographical hell, or it means the hell in the heart? Can you please give a definition?Of hell, mercifully. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was quoting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
我呢引用了来自于圣典博迦瓦坛的一个诗节。
Which is a famous verse in the pastimes of King Chitraketu.
就是讲到了就是 Teacher Ketu 这个国王的逍遥时光。
And this is spoken by Lord Shiva.
这是主希瓦说的话。
And when he mentions heaven, he speaks about Svarga Apavarga, which means heavenly planets.
那么在他说到天堂的时候，他就说到了有这个 Svarga 和Upper Varga, 意思呢就是说天堂星宿。
And then he speaks about Narakeshu. Narakeshu means the hellish planets.
然后他接下来呢他又用了一个词叫 Narakeshu. Narakeshu 的意思就是地狱星宿。
So he definitely points to a very specific geographical location.
所以呢看来他的确是在讲的是一个物理性的或者说地理性的一个概念。
But what we also know is that this earth planet has both heavenly situation and hellish situation.
那么我们也知道在我们这个地球，就是地球是在中间了，那它同时具有这个天堂星宿的一些特征，也有地狱星宿的特征。
Therefore,Hell can be the mind, hell can be the body.
所以呢，当我们说到这个地狱的时候，或者地狱般呢，你可以说是心意上的，或者是身体上的地狱。
Hell can be the situation we find ourselves in.
或者呢，我们发现自己所身处的一个状况。
And in any condition, a devotee is always interested.To only remember Krishna.
但是无论是在任何一种情况下，奉献者们只对一件事感兴趣，就是对 Krishna 的爱心奉献服务。
And then I made the point that even though we may be facing physical or mental, whatever hellish situation, the real hell for a devotee is to forget Krishna.
那我前面也讲到了，就是即便是对于奉献者来说，面临着一些生理上的或者心理上的一种地狱般的状况，但是其实对于奉献者来说，最大的这个地狱就是我们遗忘了 Krishna。
Now, there's another, you see, because translations are very important when it comes to this. In the verse, it says Narayana para sarve. This is the first line. And Narayana para sarve means pure devotees of Lord Narayan, of the Supreme Lord.
这有一个诗节，前面有一行说到的是 Narayana para sarve， 意思就是主 Narayana 的纯粹奉献者。
Now, we have the example of Vasudev Datta, who was a leper.
我们知道有一个例子，就是 Vasudev Datta， 他患了这个麻风病。
We have the example of Haridas Thakur, who was beaten in 22 marketplaces.
那我们也知道有 Haridas Thakur， 他在22个市集上呢被棒打。
And in both cases, Prabhupada even quotes Lord Jesus.
而且呢，在这讲到这两个例子的时候，是了 Prabhupada 呢，他也引用了耶稣基督的例子。
We have the example of Sanatan Goswami, who was covered of illness all over his body.
而且我们还知道 Sanatan Goswami 他这个全身上下呢都患上了这个皮肤病。
We have the example of the Pandavas who were in exile for 14 years.
还有 Pandava 兄弟，他们在森林当中被流放了14年。
All these devotees were able to handle those tribulations because of their pure, unalloyed devotion to Krishna.
那么，你所有的这些纯粹的奉献者，因为他们对 Krishna 的纯粹、忠贞不二的这种分爱之情，所以呢，他们都能够坦然地面对这些困境。
In our situation, we follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings.
在我们的这种情况下呢，我们都追随着 Srila Prabhupada 的教导。
Where he says, health comes first.
他的这个教导呢，就是健康第一。
Chanting comes second.
唱诵第二。
Service comes third.
服务第三。
Study comes fourth.
学习第四。
So, this health is number one. This is even mentioned by Shukadev Goswami in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam.
所以呢，在这里呢，第一条就是健康。哪怕是这个 Shukadeva Goswami 在圣典博迦瓦塔呢，一开始他也谈到了这一点。
That the body must be in a very good condition in order to serve Krishna.
因为你这个身体呢，必须要保持在一种非常好的健康的这个状况，这样呢才能够顺利的去服务 Krishna.
If we put service as a priority and health goes down, that's not service.
那如果说我们把我们的服务放在了第一位，但是呢，却把这个健康身体的这个状况放在第二位，那这不是真正的服务。
We are always instruments in the hand of the guru, and therefore we have to be good instruments.
因为我们始终都是我们的 guru 灵性导师手中的工具，所以呢，得是一个非常好使的工具。
So, when we find ourselves in the hell of the body or the hell of the mind, then we have to look after it nicely so we can be instrumental.
所以说呢，当我们发现我们的这个身体或者我们的精神是处在一种地狱般的那种状况的话，我们就必须要好好的去照看它，让它恢复健康，这样我们才能够成为我们guru手中的一把好工具。
Janaki has a question.
Janaki 还有一个问题，稍等一下。这个问题是课中讲到了人的最高利益是通过 Varnashram 制度。 我们的社团还没有建立这个制度，如何达到最高的利益？ In the class, you mentioned that the highest benefit or highest goal of the humanity is to perform the duties through Varnashram system. However, in our community, this system hasn't been established. So how can we attain the highest benefits?
Now, to perform one's duty in the Varnashram system, that argument was put forward by the Madhvacharya sannyasis.
那么你这里哈有点没有听全，就是在这里呢说到的这个要通过 Varnashram 制度去履行职责是人类的最高利益，这个是 Madhvacharya， 就是那个庙里的那些 sannyasi 托钵僧他们的观点。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that above the Varnashram, the essence of any spiritual activity is based on hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里指出的这个最高的这个利益，它是超越于Varnashram 的这个制度的。他指出了，就是这是一个灵性的这个最高的利益，就是它是基于聆听、唱诵和意念的。
Towards the end of his life in this world, Srila Prabhupada explained that he had completed 50% of his mission, and the other 50% was for him to establish Varnashram in ISKCON.
那 Srila Prabhupada 在临终之前，他曾经吐露过，就是在他的建立的 Krishna 知觉运动当中呢，他实现了50%的这个使命。那剩下的50%还没有完成的这个事业，就是 Varnashram 制度。
In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada explains that he wanted to create a class of brahmanas who are educated in pure heart.
在最开始的时候，Srila Prabhupada 他曾经说过，他要建立起一个婆罗门的这个阶层。这些婆罗门的阶层呢，他们非常的渊博，在灵性知识上非常的渊博，非常的洁净，内心呢非常的纯净。
And in turn, a meat eater, gambler, drinking, bad karma, bad family into a brahmana. That's a miracle.
那如果说能够把那些出生在吃肉的人的家庭中的有各种各样的恶习，又酗酒，然后业报让他们得高的这些人，要把他们转变成为婆罗门，那简直是一个奇迹。
So, have brahmanical qualities, some devotees will have them and they will act on this, some others will struggle with them.
那么如果说到了这个婆罗门的这些品性的话，那对于有些奉献者呢，他是可以培养起来的，并且可以保持在其中，但是对于有一些奉献者来说呢，可能就是一个很大的难题，他们得始终的去挣扎。
So when we are striving for pure bhakti, we need a safety net, and that safety net is the Varnashram.
那么当我们在走向这个纯粹的奉爱服务的这个方向，在朝着那个方向努力的时候，我们必须要有一个安全网，那这个安全的网就是 Varnashram 的这个制度。
Pure devotional service, it's like the equilibrist walking on the tight rope.
那么这个就是纯粹的这个奉献服务呢，就好像是一个人走在这个钢丝绳上一样，是那样的，就是每一步都是一线。
You have to go one step after another, keeping your balance, looking straight ahead of you, no distraction, complete focus.
那么这样的一个走钢丝的一个演员，他必须得全神贯注的，他必须要只是专注于前方， 而不被任何事物所分心，而且每次就走一步，稳稳地走一步，一步一步地向前。
And the establishment of the Anashram system within Krishna consciousness is there, should be there, to accommodate all the mentalities, all the levels of bhakti, all the propensities to serve in one way or another, not just Brahmanical.
那么在整个的 Krishna 知觉的大的体系当中去建立一个 Varnashram 的这个制度呢，它是非常有意义的，因为它更具有这个包容性，它能够把有着不同的心态的、不同的服务倾向、不同个性的，然后不同的人，把他们集中到一起，都能够在这个制度上面去满足他们的服务愿望。
But we have to remember that there are always two kinds of Varnashram.
就是说不仅只是去培养一类婆罗门阶层，所以呢，我们要这个 Varnashram 的这个制度，它应该说是有两类。
One is the Varnashram which is presented in the Vedic scriptures.
第一个就是说在这个韦达经典当中所提倡的 Varnashram。
And the other is known as Devi Varnashram.
那另外一种呢，就被称为 Devi Varnashram.
Means that it's the Varnashram system where whether you are a Shudra, a Vaishya, a Kshatriya or a Brahmana, or whether you're a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you are always engaged in devotional service.
那这个 Devi Varnashram 制度呢，它是非常的这个超然的，也就是说它超越了四个社会的阶层啊，就比如说婆罗门啊、刹帝利啊、白舍和舍者，它也超越了人的这个灵性的四个进阶。无论一个人他是 Brahmachari 是僧守生、Grihastha 居士、叫什么 Naprastha 还是 Sannyasi 这个托钵生。无论他们是谁，他们都去从事对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
Which means that even if you have a Shudra tendency or Shudra occupation, you can still become a pure devotee.
换句话说，即便是你是一个 Shudra， 然后呢，你有这个 Shudra 的这个能力，有 Shudra 的这种精神倾向，但是你依然可以成为纯粹的奉献者。
If you are a farmer, if you are a business person, you can still be a pure devotee.
那么如果说你是务农的，或者是你是一个商人，做生意买卖的，你还是可以成为纯粹的奉献者。
That's Devi Varnashram.
这个就叫 Devi Varnashram.
That's the Varnashram that Srila Prabhupada wants to.
这是 Srila Prabhupada 他真正想建立的一种 Varnashram 制度。
So it's a very good question, Janaki Mataji. It's an ongoing conversation.
Janaki Mataji, 你提的这个问题呢非常好，而且我们这个讨论还会一直持续下去。
Okay, are we finished now?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you very much, Sati Mataji.
非常感谢 Sati Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for translating from Hangzhou.
非常感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 在杭州的翻译。
Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for the
listeners. 感谢所有的聆听者。
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hi.
Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai.
Hi.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Hi.
The Four Sampradayas Ki Jai.
Hi.
Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi.
哈利哈利宝，百坤的知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 知音 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束了，我们下周同一时间周三早上7:00再见，祝大家度过一个充满 Krishna 知觉的充实而美好的一天。 Hare Krishna